Okay, last time we were together, I explained to you this versioning problem with some PowerPoint slides. Now, I'm not going to explain it again. Go back and watch the last time if you missed it. This time what I want to do is show you the code that I use to think about this problem. And I think it's a good technique when you're trying to investigate how are we going to do something or other to do what we like to call a spike project. So that is, if you know you have something and you don't know what to do about this problem, you do a little test, you create a little time box project where you investigate it. So I'm going to show you my little spike project here and what I use to think through the nature of this solution. So what I have here is a workflow service, and it has sort of three parts. It's a stupid little calculation. All right, first thing is there's a start calc where I receive a message that says, hey, calculate something. And then I respond with that, and then I have a little while loop, and inside the while loop I have this operation resume calc. So every time I pass through this loop, the workflow is going to go idle and wait for the client app to send some more data. Now, I'm not really using any data out of the message. What I'm going to do is just take an increment by loop counter, and then I'm going to accumulate a result by just adding x to the result, okay? And then at the end, when I finish the loop, then I'll come into the finish calc, which is where I will wait for a message from the client app to finish this. So if we run this, you'll get a sense of what it looks like to work with this. So let me bring this over here. Now it's showing the service because I hit F5 with the service in Visual Studio. So here I've got a little web app. Okay, so first of all, I have to pass in a name, because we're going to correlate these calculations based on name, all right? And I built the UI so it really only allows me to do one at a time, but you'll get the point. All right, so when I do start workflow, we send a message in, and I'm going to resume the workflow and here I can see what the value of X is for the loop count. All right, so I'm resuming the workflow, now it's on 2, there's 3, and now we're going to complete the workflow. All right, so there's the final result of the whole thing. It's a 6. All right, so that's my little app, and I can see now it's got another test user. I can start the whole thing over again. Now, there's some other things you can notice about this, right? And so remember last time I was talking about breaking changes, non-breaking changes, and would it be safe to upgrade this workflow? So what if we did this? Let's start a workflow here. Okay, and I'm going to resume it, and now we're on loop count 1, all right? And let's just stop our app right here. All right, and now let's go look at the Server Explorer. Here's my persistence database. And if I look in the views, there's a view called Instances. So let's look in there. And here you see that I have an instance going. And if I look in here at this, I say, what do I have here? I have an instance ID. I can see when it was created, when it was last updated, and so forth. There's some other things I can see about it, and you know, you can see the data is a binary data. I see it's initialized, it's not completed, it's currently executing, and so forth, right? This isn't great information for me right now, really. I mean, I get, you know, some things here, but I can see what machine owned it and so forth, right? But let's go back to my workflow. Let's say that you and I were on a team together and we said, we need to change this thing. Suddenly somebody came along and said, the way we're accumulating this result is wrong. And we need to change that from plus to multiply or minus, whatever, some kind of change that. And now if we think about the implication of making that change. Now I showed you on a previous episode that I could go in and change this expression and load persisted instances. And in the unsigned activity probably is not going to blow up, okay? There might be some activities that would, but I could probably safely change this expression. So you might say, well, then it's not a breaking change. Except, if I change that expression, what happens to the value of result? Well, it depends on when I make the change. Like, if we came into this while loop the first time through, before this ever executed the first time and changed the value, the expression rather, then it would be fine, right? Because we haven't started accumulating result. But if we've gone through this loop once or twice and then we change this expression, Not good. Because now this will be a logic error. And so we will have a workflow that functions but returns an incorrect result. So now we have a breaking change. So the question I'm asking is, what can I do about that? Now last time I showed you in the PowerPoint slides that the option here would really be, we have to look in the table of instances, find instances that are not safe to upgrade, and then delete them and resubmit them. So how are we going to do that? Well, if we look up here at the thing that started this whole business, it's this receive activity. And if I look in here, there's just two things I received to start this, the name and the starting value, okay? So what I have to do is I have to save these two pieces of information. And I have to know what they are so that if I ever need to delete the workflow that started this, I can take those two and start it all over again. And there's some other things I would need to save, right? I would need to know, well, which workflow instance got those two particular pieces of data. So I need to save the instance ID. And there's some other things I might want to save. Now, there's two techniques to saving these. One technique is promoted properties. All right, so if I look over here in the views, I see this instance promoted properties here. If I go show results, you see I have some values in here. This is because I used promoted properties to put some additional data into the instance store. Now, promoted properties is a feature of the SQL Workflow Instance Store. It doesn't work with other instance stores, just SQL Workflow Instance Store. Other instance stores could have something else. It's just up to the instance store. So what this does, it says, well, for that instance ID, there's some values that you can store here. And so now, how did I do this? All right, let me show you how I did it. So I used some activities, a sample activity that's in our workflow samples. It's a property promotion activity, promote value. And you can see I have the sample project right up here. And there's a whole bunch of goo here. It's fairly complicated, but you can look at it. And so what I did here is I said, I want to promote values. And so the first one, I clear any existing promoted values for this. And then I promote things like the version of the workflow, the loop count, what the name of this workflow is, the name of the user that started it, an enumerated value I call stage so I can tell, like, you know, what part of the workflow it's on, and the starting value that we sent, all right? Now, this particular technique that the property promotion library uses, it creates a behavior, a SQL Workflow Instance Store promotion behavior, all right? Now, I had to go into the web config and set this up. So Visual Studio is giving me a little squiggly here because that's not in the schema for the config. But basically, this replaces the SQL Workflow Instance Store behavior with this promotion behavior. And then I can create named promotion sets, all right? So here's the values I want to store. So these names here have to match what I used in these guys, all right? And so basically what this activity does is it reaches into the persistence participant, it gets a hold of the behavior and says, promote this value. Then the next time it's persisted, that value ends up in this table. And now the names aren't great, right? They're just value one, value two, and so forth. And the order that we see here is actually the order that came from here. So the first one is the workflow name, the version, then the stage. So this one is waiting for the calculator to resume. This is the user that started it, the starting value, and then the last value here, value six, is the particular iteration through the loop. So if I were looking at this, I would say, aha! I see that this one has not been through the loop yet, so it's safe to upgrade. But if I saw that it was on the second or third iteration, then I would know it's not safe to upgrade. And now that's a fair bit of pain, right? I mean, to go through this and to do all of that, and it's one option. That's, you know, just one option. Another option would be to to, let's go back to my service. So this control here, save service data, does almost the same thing, except for it stores all these values in another database, just using Entity Framework. And so in this case, my activity stores the instance ID there. Now, what's the difference? If you use promoted properties, the good thing about that is the instance store will take care of cleaning up instances when they're deleted. If you store it in your own database, then you've got to have a way to clean these up. So what I did here is I put everything inside of a try-catch block, and then finally I put delete service data. And even that's not foolproof, but it's a potential option. Okay, so that's one way you can do this. Now, let's see, what else was I going to show you? Oh yeah, so here in the variables, what I did was I created some variables like version. And so this is probably a really good idea to store this version. So let's say I wanted to change my workflow definition. Now I just change this to version 2. I make the changes to the definition. If I run this now, let's just go ahead and run it. Okay, and we need to get to the website here. Okay, let's start a workflow and resume it a couple of times. Okay, good. Now let's go in and look at our instance promoted properties again, and I need to refresh that. Now we see I have two of them. I see one of them was version 1, one of them is version 2. And that is darn cool. Now if you've seen my talk about what we're doing with workflow versioning in the next release of Windows Workflow Foundation, you know that we're doing something like this, where we have this concept of workflow identity, which has a version number and a name. And that's cool, and we store that information in the instance store, but in a case like I'm showing you here, that might not be enough information, because really the thing that was important to know whether it was safe to upgrade this instance or not is right here, this value. See, this value says 1, like we haven't been through that loop that accumulates the result yet. This value says 2, we have been through it once. So even if I know what version it is, I need this information to make an intelligent decision about whether or not I should delete this instance and resubmit. Now if I looked at this and I said, I need to upgrade that one. I know it's not safe to upgrade. So I need to grab test user 81 and value 1, put them into a message and send it again so I can start this process all over again. And I want to grab those values before I delete this instance, right? Because they'll go away when I do. So, you know, like I said, these are options for you to consider. The important point is that you have to plan how you're going to deal with this situation before you get there. If I have 1,000 instances of this workflow running and I didn't do this promoted property thing and I have no idea what stage they're in and I haven't saved the data that started this whole thing, I'm in trouble. So plan. Think about it before you start. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.